Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Without further ado, David Berman joins us here on 98.7 ESPN, oversees our chalk site and all things gambling on Daily Wager for ESPN. And David, first things first, before we start talking about the tournament and what's going on the links, I do want to have the conversation with you in regard to Nick Watney. And I just had an excellent caller who called in. You know, Nick Watney tests positive on Friday. He played with Luke List. He played with Von Taylor on Thursday. He hung out with Brooks Koepka in the parking lot. He flew to the tournament with Sergio Garcia. Why aren't those players quarantining right now? Why aren't they being quarantined?
It's a very good question. Thanks for having me on. I always enjoy talking with you on the weekends. It's a tricky subject, Anita. Like, this is a first-time thing. No one's ever seen anything like this, and I know we've been talking about this for 3 and 4 months now about, you know, the virus and COVID, and we were on the downturn, and everything seemed to be getting better, and sports are back, and golf is back, and UFC is back. It was only a matter of time we were going to be faced with the reality of what happens if. And we have our what happens if, because NASCAR has had no issues. Even if they did, they're all in their cars and they're separated from their pits, so we're not sure what would happen if they had it. We have our first what-if situation where you have a player in contact with other players who tested positive, and you're right. In by rules of the CDC and by rules of the guidelines that I'm sure the tour has and other people have, I haven't read the guidelines that the tour has, if he's playing with another player, they should be quarantined. Now, at the same time, I guess if you're quarantining Brooks and you're quarantining Sergio and Luke List, I guess they're all disqualified from the tournament. So I think that's where you get into the touchy subject of, all right, well, now they're disqualified. What are you going to do then? Maybe they're not positive. They never will be. But they were just DQ'd for something that had nothing to do with them. You're probably opening it up to a lot of other lawsuits. This is just, unfortunately, the beginning. An hour hasn't gone by where I haven't gotten an alert on my phone that tells me that more college football players have tested positive. You know, Clemson one day, you know, the Texas Longhorns one day, and you're like, how are these guys going to actually get on the field and play football if half the team has it? I think that the sports that are going to play under a bubble, if the NBA thing happens, might work. You test everybody ahead of time. And I think they were hoping that golf would be considered a bubble since you're playing outside with no fans. But you do have a playing partner. You do have a caddy. And now, I'm sure I didn't hear the caller before, but I'm sure there's – now Brooks is playing with somebody else. And Sergio is playing with somebody else. And their caddies are playing with other people. So that is the problem with the virus, is the trickle-down effect. And I don't know what the right answer is. But it's hard to argue with anybody who says they should be quarantined, except for the fact that now you're DQing someone who may not have it.
You know, another thing with Nick Watney was, you know, he missed the cut at Colonials, so he went home, and apparently he chartered, I guess him and Sergio Garcia had shared a charter flight, a personal flight to Harbortown. You know, as opposed to the PGA Tour charter flight that they had prepared for a number of the players that went from Colonial to Harbortown. Sure. You know, for those that don't use the charter, I don't know. I'm thinking out loud here that, you know, maybe the PGA Tour needs to implement something where a player cannot participate in a tournament unless he's been quarantined for 14 days before he plays.
Maybe that's what it comes down to. And if you're doing back-to-back tournaments and you miss the cut, you don't go home, because guess what happens? The NBA players aren't going home. And they're struggling with coming to grips with the fact that you're going to be in a bubble for 2 straight months if you want to play for an NBA title. If you have a day off, like if the Houston Rockets have a day off in between games, they're not going home. They're staying in the bubble of Disney World, in theory. And you got to think that golf should implement the same thing. if you're playing the next three tournaments, you're in our golf bubble. Miss or make the cut, you're on the charter. You're not going anywhere. If you want to be on tour for the next 8 weeks, stay with us. Now, what are you going to do the next time Tiger Woods decides he wants to play? He hasn't played yet. I mean, are they going to test him too? Because the rules are you have to sign up for the tournament by 5 o'clock Friday the week before. That's not 2 weeks. So if Tiger decides next Friday at 5 o'clock he wants to play the next week, that's only 6 days later. Has he been properly quarantined? And I'm just using Tiger as an example. It could be any player. Any player has until 5 p.m. Friday for the following Thursday tournament. That's not 12 weeks. I think I agree with you, and I think they should move the deadline up for tournaments. If you want to play in a tournament, you need to sign up 2 weeks in advance and quarantine for those 2 weeks. Because the next person who shows up that didn't – you talk about Nick Watney who went home in between. Well, what about the guy who didn't play last week who decided to show up? That player hasn't been quarantined, so I don't know. I mean, they're giving him the test, but the test isn't immediate. There's a lot we don't know. I have no idea how college football is going to pull it off. The NFL is talking about having a bubble or playing. It's going to be the same thing. And quite frankly, the only 100% safe way to do this is to not have sports at all. And none of us want that. Every one of us talked. I was on this show with you a week ago, how excited we were to see golf. And then a week later, we have the possibility of players being DQ'd because their playing partner got, you know, tested for COVID and was positive. So there's only one answer to complete and utter safety, and that's to postpone all sports until the virus vaccine is had. And none of us wants that.
You know, David, you mentioned Tiger Woods. I'm everything that I'm reading, I'm hearing is that he's not going to participate in the Travelers either. I'll be honest with you. This pandemic, COVID-19, the way things are looking right now, if I'm Tiger Woods, I'm only participating in the majors. I'm not playing in anything else this year. I'm not. I'm not going to risk it. I'm only going to play in the majors. Would you do the same?
I don't blame him. I mean, that's what he wants to play for. He wants to play the majors, maybe the WGC that's left. If he doesn't play in anything else, he may not qualify for the FedEx Cup anyway. So I don't blame him. He's battled injuries. He's a lot older than the other players. You know, he's not in the range that is the difficult range with this virus. But and I would assume that the PGA Tour has waived the 15-tournament rule that they had, that he had to be in 15 tournaments because of COVID. I wouldn't blame him if he just showed up for the three majors. Why not? You know, get healthy and play in them. You have nothing to prove by winning the Travelers. No disrespect to the hometown tournament, but I'm upset I can't go to it next week. But
I know. And it'll be interesting to see what happens. The Memorial is supposed to be the first tournament where they're going to have a few fans, but it'll be interesting to see the next 3 weeks if that's still going to be the case. David, before we let you go, let's talk. You are on fire. You're El Fuego, dude. You are on fire with your picks. You love Webb Simpson coming into this. You and I, of course, wrote an article for Chalk and had our picks, and you were all over Webb Simpson. He's 2 under on the day so far through 11. He's 14 under on the board, so one shot back from Hatton, who's at the top of leaderboard at 15 under. Are you all in? Are all your chips in on Webb Simpson heading into tomorrow?
I have a lot of chips on Webb Simpson. I will tell you, I sprinkled a little bit on DeChambeau and Kepka last night just to have some other guys around there. I'll take a hard look at it tonight, but because there's so many people at 13 and 14 under par, you're not going to be able to cover all your bases and make a profit. Like 22-1 on Webb, who, if you look at the leaderboard right now, is the best player up there, who is playing as well as anyone. And I took Webb last week and he missed the cut, and I wrote about it in the column that you mentioned, that I went and looked at how Webb played last week, and he had a bad Thursday where he had three bogeys and no birdies. That's a bad day, call it what it is. First day back, hadn't played in 90. And then on Friday he was 4 under par through 16 holes on the day, and he was under the cut line, and then he threw one in the water, double bogeyed, and went home for the weekend. So I said, all right, one bad hole. Had a really good Friday other than one bad hole. I'm sticking with him this week. The odds were really good because he didn't make the cut last week. And I'm in on him. And I've had him, when you say all in, I guess you could say I've had him 2 of the 3 days individually, and I have him for the tournament against Patrick Reed, which is already a winner because Reed missed the cut. And then I have him for the whole tournament. So, yeah, I have a lot on him, and that'll be a super payoff. Today was wonderful. I had 3 head-to-head matchups that won. And then I hit a 3-team parlay, 3-golfer parlay that won. I can't remember the last time I went 6-0 on a one day golf day to hit them all and have no L's in the column. So I was close yesterday, but Morikawa couldn't get it done. I know they stopped it for a while and he had a birdie putt to win it and he didn't. But the last 2 days, 12-2, have been pretty good.
Dude, six guys shot a 63 today. Six guys were 8 under today.
Yeah. Yep, and I had three. I had Hatton, Berger, and I don't remember who the other one was, but I had three of them. And I told you this last night. I said, I don't care what the odds are. I'm taking Daniel Berger over Jordan Spieth. I have this habit of fading Spieth, especially after he has a ridiculous round like he had Thursday. And I wanted to see what he did yesterday, and he had a decent day yesterday. And I'm like, all right, well, Saturday is going to be the day he doesn't show up. And I did not expect a 12-shot win. The Bear texted me and said, you should get paid triple for that. Do you agree with him?
Absolutely, you should. I mean, you're doing so well. All right, let's end on this. Give me. You got like a sleeper out there, a guy that you feel confident is going to finish in the top 20. One guy coming in that I really liked was Maverick McNealy. He's 9 under, shot 5 under today. So he's 72, 66, 66 on the tournament. He's tied for 36 right now. I think he has another outstanding day tomorrow. I loved him coming in, but unfortunately he shot a 72 on the first day. I think he's got a great chance of finishing in the top 20. It's probably one of my best plays heading into tomorrow.
I already have Kuchar and Simpson in the top 20, so I like those. Another guy who I took pre-tournament that is outside the top 20 right now, who is just waiting to have that good round of the week is Morikawa. You saw how well he did last week. He hasn't put it all together this week, but he's sitting at T47 at 8 under par. And right now he is, as I look at it, he's 4 shots back of a top 20. Don't surprise tomorrow if he goes ahead and shoots a 65 and finishes there. So I don't know if you would call that a dark horse, although he's far away, but he is somebody that I would watch. Who else? I'm looking at the board right now. John Rahm is another guy who he's only a couple of shots back and he's shooting well. Justin Thomas, they're all -9, -8. We're talking about some of the best golfers in the world and two of the top three players with Thomas and Rahm. Why not take a stab on them to get up there tomorrow? My one remaining tourney play is McIlroy versus Thomas. McIlroy has a 1-shot lead versus Thomas, so I'll be having my eyes on that one tomorrow to see if McIlroy can win that battle, considering he was 6 shots back after the first round. So that'll be a fun one to watch.
Another one that I like is Brandon Grace. He's 8 under, 4 under on the day today, and he's tied for 47th. So if he comes out and has a great Sunday, he could sneak his way back into the top 20 as well. All right, David, thank you so much. Always great having you on. Really appreciate your time and keep on crushing it, man. Keep on. I'm trying to think. When does the article drop on Chalk for all our golf picks each and every week?
The best bets column that you, myself, and Chris Verfalico write along with Doug Kazarian will drop every Wednesday morning. So usually you and Doug and Felix give the picks Monday night or Tuesday. We edit it and throw it up there. I'll have it done Tuesday night, but I will put it up for viewing on Wednesday.
Fantastic. Hopefully we'll follow your lead and just be as hot as you are. David, thank you so much.
I mean, last week I did terrible. Let's just throw it out there. I did awful last week and good this week, so hopefully we will continue that. I just want to make sure everybody knew that.
You got it. Have a great weekend.
See ya.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.